John 13:18. Jesus is instructing his disciples. We've shifted gears from his large public ministry to a more specific task at hand of preparing his disciples for what is about to come. And Jesus is narrowing his ministry to that point called Golgotha, the place of the skull, where Calvary's cross would take the life of our Savior, where he would give up his life willingly. And in preparation, he has talked with his disciples and he has told them by way of illustration, serve one another. He says in verse 17, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Understand that before him, around him, with him are his 12 disciples. And he says, I am not referring to all of you. It's as though Jesus is thinking about what's happening, and now in preparation, his mind goes to a particular place with Judas and what's about to happen. And he says, I'm not referring to all of you, you understand. I know those I have chosen. I know my disciples. But this is to fulfill the scripture. He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me. He who has eaten with me, he who has shared my food at my table, he will kick me with his heel. Now, that comes from the Psalms, and David writes of somebody who did that to him. And most probably, it was Ahithophel, his arguably greatest counselor, advisor. And when David's son Absalom turned against him, Ahithophel ended up giving counsel to Absalom and, in essence, leaving David. And David understood what that felt like. And Jesus goes all the way back to what David wrote so many years ago. David writing probably of Ahithophel, but also writing of Judas Iscariot, who would eventually deny the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm telling you now, to me this is the key verse, don't miss this one. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. Jesus is instructing his disciples about what Judas would do because he knew that shortly they would encounter this. And he wants them to see it for what it is. How many times in our lives do the circumstances of life seem to scream that Jesus is not in charge, that he's not God, that he can't handle what concerns me? And Judas was no exception. And Jesus understood that. And so he told his disciples, when you see this unfolding, when you see Judas do what he's about to do, I'm telling you now before it happens so that you will understand I really am the Messiah. I really am God in human flesh. I really am in charge. I really can handle what concerns you. I tell you the truth, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. Seemingly out of place, and yet I think he's attempting to encourage what would be discouraged disciples, and we'll get into that momentarily. Verse 21, after he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. Now, I confess that as I read those words and I see this Christ who is the Messiah, God in human flesh, when I see that he's in full control, governing his life and even his death, I marvel at who he is and his divinity. Do you see that on display? Do you see that Christ is saying, here I am, the chosen one. I am God in human flesh. And then I read this verse. He knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew that all this was going to happen to him. And then he says, he was troubled. I tell you the truth, one of you is going to betray me. And what I sense is this, in my own mind, tension between the divinity and humanity of Christ on display before us. I see God in human flesh who can handle all of this and yet not untouched by it. And yet as he encounters and goes through this, this man Judas ate with him. Arguably, probably at his left hand as he reclined at the table with his disciples, there was Judas. He honors him by offering him that piece of bread. And I think it hurt. He knew it was going to happen, but this man has been with him for 3 years. I think Judas was very likable. I think he was respected among the other disciples. Why would you name someone as treasurer of your group if you didn't think he had some integrity? And I think they respected him. And in fact, in just a moment, when they struggle with, is it I? Nobody does, is it recorded, or nowhere is it recorded that they all looked at Judas and go, bet it's him. I don't think that's the case. And yet, he's living this dual life. He's pretending to be one thing, and he's really something else. And it hurt Jesus to think through what was about to happen. And don't you think for a minute that he was just this machine that headed to the cross. He was a human being. He experienced everything that we experience as human beings. He understands us. His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. Can you imagine that as Jesus drops this bomb on them? These band of 12 men had been hanging around Jesus for 3 years. And yes, I don't doubt they sparred continuously about who would be first and second and all in charge of this and that and the other when Christ finally established his earthly kingdom, so they thought. But they had been through some battles together. They had watched Jesus do some pretty incredible stuff. They had been ministered to by the Son of God. And when Jesus says, one of you, they were a bit startled. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him, John. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, ask him which one he means. So they don't know who Jesus is talking about. And we don't know the exact order, but Peter may very well have been seated across from John. And he goes, ask him. I mean, they're real people just like you and me. And Peter's over there going, "Who?" Okay, good old Peter asks the question everybody else is maybe afraid to ask. John, you're sitting next to him, and probably John's right there and leaning on his left shoulder as they would eat with their right. Sorry, you Southpaws, but that's what they did. And there he was right there and under Jesus' head at the breast of Jesus. And all John has to do is, who is it? And Peter knows that John can do that. And Peter goes, John, ask him, who is that? Who's he talking about? He wants to know. And so do you, but you already do. Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is the one whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. It seems to me, and I frankly just struggle with this, Jesus knew that Judas was going to do this. There are those who would tell you that by extending the bread and his friendship to Judas, Jesus was giving him yet another chance not to, and yet Jesus knew that he would. But you see Jesus in this relationship, and you see his humanity and divinity on display, and it seems though that's the final straw when Judas took that bread from Jesus. That's eerie. The one who walked with him for 3 years, the one who saw on display this God in human flesh, who has seen the example of servanthood, takes the bread knowing full well what he's about to do. Knowing what he's been doing, living a lie. But be careful. when we point our finger at Judas, that evil, wicked man. For have we supped at the table with Jesus and yet at the same time denied him with our actions, with our thoughts? It is very possible to live in his presence and not be his. And I would challenge us not to a life of perfection per se, but to a life of love with Christ. Don't miss that Jesus didn't come to set an example for you to follow out of your sin. He came to die for your sin. And that's what Judas seemed to miss. All of this is happening right there in front of the disciples on display for them. And when Judas takes the bread, Satan leads him out. It's interesting to me, the second part of verse 27, even in his death, Jesus orchestrates, okay? He's still in charge. He's still orchestrating how long his life will be and when it will end, simply in obedience to his Father. And when he sees what's unraveling before him, he speaks to Judas and he says, go do it quickly, hurry up. Now, what did that say to Judas? I'm not sure, but I like to speculate as I've read that maybe Judas thought, uh-oh, he knows. He knows my plan. It's now or never. I've got to tell the officials. We got to get this done now because he's already figured out my plan. And so even in his death, Jesus is in charge. He's making it happen. But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Even then, they don't go, I knew it was Judas. Nobody says that. They don't even have a clue. John knew. Maybe Peter knew. Maybe John looked across at people and said, it's Judas. But the rest of them didn't understand. And none of them understood exactly why Jesus said what he said to Judas to go out and do this quickly. They thought, well, verse 29, since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the feast or to give something to the poor. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. Somebody in our congregation, look around you. Imagine if I told you that I had a conversation with God earlier this week, and I said to you, he told me that one of you is going to go into a fit of anger and rage this very week and take the life of another individual. Now, some of you would dismiss that as hogwash because you know better. But just suppose you believed me for a moment. Some of you might go, it's not me. There's no way I'm not going to do that. Some of you would say, ah, I know who it is. I'll bet it's... And you would begin to think about people around you. And yet others of you would do as the disciples did, and you would probably ask yourselves, could that be me? Could he be talking about me? Could I be the one? Now, you don't know this. Only one of you am I going to disclose it to, but it's Dow Colley. He's going to go into a fit of anger and a fit of rage this week, and he's going to take the life of another individual. Now, you laugh, but if you really believed me and you watched that unfold this week, and on Thursday of this week, you pick up your newspaper and you find out that Dow Colley took the life of another individual on Wednesday in a fit of rage, now what are you thinking? Oh, my word. Unbelievable. You would be shocked. And Jesus knew that's exactly what his disciples would be when he said to them, one of you will betray me. No. Jesus, we've been together for 3 years. There's no way. I know Dow Colley. He wouldn't do that. There's no way he would do that. Nobody in this room, none of these 12, would betray you. Jesus, we've given up everything to follow you. Nobody here would possibly betray you. And what would you tell those disciples who were about to face such unbelievable circumstances? I would say to you, you need to know that Jesus is God. You need to know that He really is God in human flesh. You need to see that He's in charge. You need to see that He's not shaken. He's not shocked. He's not overwhelmed. He's not surprised by the reality of what's about to unfold before Him. You would need to see that He's on His throne. Or you would act like Peter in the garden when actually he saw this acted out. And he saw the betrayal. And he saw the Roman guard. And Peter goes, oh no! Judas is about to mess up everything. And these Roman guards are about to mess up everything. I'll fix it. And he pulls out his sword. And he tries to cut the head off of one of these guys that's after Jesus. And instead he gets an ear when the guy ducks. Have you ever done that when you encounter the circumstances of life? And you go, oh no! Oh no! Jesus needs my help. Things are not working out right. I need to do something. And I'll tell you what you need to do. In your shock, you need to get on your knees and understand that He's the Lord. And He hasn't descended from His throne because the circumstances that you encounter look contrary to His lordship. It hasn't happened. It never will happen. And it isn't happening today. And so to you who would be shocked, relax. Sorry, I don't help you with that because I get a little bit passionate about what I preach. Relax. Jesus hasn't left His throne because Judas is about to betray Him. And in fact, what looks like a tragedy is actually God in human flesh working out His plan. And if Peter had stopped that from happening, where would you and I be today? You would first of all be shocked. Second of all, if I told you about Dow's episodes on Wednesday and you read about them on Thursday, you would be amazed. You would be, holy cow, how did he know that? And some of you would come back next Sunday to hear more. And some of you would never come back because you'd be afraid I'd talk about you. Jesus wants His disciples to see this unfolding, and the circumstances would look contrary to the lordship of Christ. But now, when they see Judas in the garden, and that's coming in future weeks, but when they see that, now they'll go, holy cow, He told us this. How did He know? And see, the very thing that would have looked confusing and like, well, He really is, oh, He must not be who, oh, my word, it's all a hoax. Instead, now there's reinforcement that He really is God. Somebody want to question you in terms of the deity of Christ? Take them to this betrayal. He knew about it before it happened. How do you know that? He's God in human flesh. He says, I am He. He even orchestrated His life and death and hurried Judas. Some of you may have been disturbed as I was. One of our own was dismissed by the Houston Texans last week. And oh man, the things that went through my mind. I would have called Mr. Kubiak, but he probably wouldn't have taken my call, and I probably wouldn't have had much good to say to him. And I spiritualized it. I said, okay, Lord, You've either got somewhere else for him to go, or it's time for him to get out of the NFL. But God, selfishly, I want to see this guy run. Because I can tell my friends, I know him. And I know that he can do this. And wouldn't that be really cool, God? And God said, it'll be cool if I say it's cool, and it won't be if I say it won't be. And it may just be, Carl, that I want him to go on to med school. And I had to reconcile that God knows what He's doing. But the circumstances in Houston, I confess, I wanted to pray some of the imprecatory psalms for them. Is it wrong to hope that Miami plays Houston again one day and that Sam Kahn runs for 372 yards? I want you to adore Jesus because he knew what was coming. See, when I look down the road, I can't see anything. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what's going to unfold. I don't know God's best for SamCon, for Faith Church, for my own life, for your life. I can't see into the future, but I serve a God who can. And if I'll just follow him, I can't lose. And even when it looks a little treacherous and I don't understand why things are happening the way that they are, and it gets confusing and it gets cloudy and I don't understand and I get scared, I can trust because I'm following the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all I have to do is adore him. And when I see his plan unfold, and when I go, that's why you did that, God, now I can adore him. Now I can appreciate him. Okay, you'd be shocked. You'd be amazed. But you might also be tempted to be discouraged. Wait, just a minute, Jesus. One of us? And I think Jesus does it in such a way so as the disciples would begin to go, maybe I could do that. Did you hear their question? Is it I? Am I the one? And then if I look at Judas and I go, he's a man of integrity. He's the treasurer. He's seated beside you. He's sort of kind of the guest of honor here as you dip that bread and handed it to him. If he could blow it, then I certainly could. And so some of you would read the paper and you'd go, he's an elder at Faith Church. I know Dow Calais. I know he wouldn't do that. If he would do that, holy cow, what can I do? And there would be a temptation to be discouraged. And Jesus, I think, understood that. And so into the midst of this, I tell you the truth, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me. Jesus validates the calling on their lives. Jesus puts the focus not on them, but on himself and his Father who sent him. Jesus teaches his disciples that even Judas is fulfilling the purpose of God. What an awesome God. Take courage, for he is the one who called you. Some of you remember the infamous Buck Hatch, and some of you remember the line he used repeatedly in class. Do you remember that line? Look up here. A humble, confident proclaimer of God's truth. And he would just kind of, look up here, look up here. To me, that's sort of the message that Jesus is giving his disciples. By the way, Dow's not going to do that on Wednesday. So don't look for it in the paper on Thursday. He might come after me after this sermon, but Jesus knows what his disciples are about to go through. They're about to watch Judas betray him with a kiss. And in their shock and in their amazement and in their fear, they're going to be focused in like, what's going on here? Whoa, Judas, what are you doing? Why did you do that? What are the Roman guards doing here? Why are they pulling out their swords? Why are they doing that? What's going on? Anybody identify with that? And I hear Jesus saying to his disciples, look up here, guys. Look up here. Relax. I'm orchestrating things. But it doesn't make it relax. But God, what? Relax. I have it under control. Just follow me. Just do what I tell you to do. I promise you, this will all work out. Relax. And just be amazed, because on the other side, you're going to look back and go, wow, you really knew what you were doing. You ever do that? You knew this, and you were, Be amazed. Adore him. And lest you be tempted to be discouraged, remember that he called you to serve him, and when he uses you, he will point others to himself, and he'll use you to do it. Let's pray. Father, please encourage your sheep, this body of priests who proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. May we be ever amazed at you. And teach us, even in the midst of the circumstances that we might encounter, to relax. Thank you, King Jesus, for being on the throne. In Jesus' name, amen.